Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 this morning. We are entering the New Testament in our F260 Bible reading plan. There at the bottom of your bulletin, you see our weekly reading plan. And I want to encourage you, if you've not been following along, this is a great time to jump in. A great time to start. We'll be reading highlights from the New Testament and great scripture readings there for us that will help us in our Christian lives and our Christian faith. This morning we're going to begin a series coming from the Gospels, from all four Gospels, and I'm calling it What Jesus Says to His Disciples. I kind of wrestled with how I wanted to preach through. You know, I thought, well, maybe we'll do the life of Christ, and that's certainly worthwhile and such. But as I prayed, as I thought, as I read, I really felt like in this season, what we would benefit from is hearing what Jesus says to us as disciples, as Christians. What does Jesus say? How does Jesus instruct us? And so for the next several weeks, we're going to really be boring down into the words of Jesus, focusing in on His teaching and how that ought to impact our lives, every single one of us. So as we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll read our text from Mark chapter 1, okay? So, Father, we are coming once again to hear Your Word. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would illuminate us, that we might understand and comprehend the words of our Savior. We pray that You would give us humble faith to believe and repentant hearts to turn from sin, that we might pursue holiness and righteousness and godliness. Help us to hear Christ's instructions so that we might know how to live. Give us the strength and the courage to obey and follow. May we be faithful followers of Jesus by Your grace and for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1. Let's hear what the Lord says to us. The beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send My messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are My Son, whom I love. With You I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May the Lord bless His word in our hearing today. There is so much bad news. It's just painful to watch the evening news, to read the newspaper, to get on Facebook and read all the bad news that's out there. The terrible things that are happening. We really need good news today. Don't you like it when you find some good news? Isn't that just like a breath of fresh air? Well, this morning, the good news that we have, really, it's the very best news possible. The good news is the kingdom of God has come. In our text, we see John the Baptist who was sent to prepare a people for the coming and the arrival of the kingdom of God. And Jesus began his public ministry announcing its arrival here in verse 15. That he says, the time has come. This is it. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been looking for. The kingdom of God has arrived. It's here. What I want you to see and note this morning is a disciple hears the good news announcement about the kingdom of God. A disciple hears, receives this good news announcement. John, he came to prepare this people. In verse 4, we're told that he appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In verse 7, we see what his message was. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. John goes on to say, I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is one who is coming, John said, who's going to set everything right. He's going to change your life. And sure enough, Jesus came. Jesus arrives and he's baptized. This baptism is inaugurating his ministry. It's not because Jesus was sinful himself, but rather Jesus does everything right and perfect, and he sets the pattern for us to follow. And Jesus was baptized to reveal his glory. And as he's coming up out of the water, you see the Trinity right here. You see the Son, Jesus, rising out of the water. You hear the voice of the Father and proclaim from heaven, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And you see the Spirit of God like a dove coming down upon him, some manifestation of the Spirit descending upon Jesus. And you see the glory of God revealed, the triune God on display for us. And at that moment, Jesus says, it's here. The kingdom of God has arrived. Please understand that this is important to hear because we live in a world with several competing kingdoms. It's not just the kingdom of God that we want to think about, but there are competing kingdoms. Well, there's the kingdoms of this world. There are the governments, the nation states that we belong to and are competing and vying for predominance and power and supremacy in this world. Whether it was Spain or Portugal, or later on in history it was France and then Britain. Then it was in the Cold War is the United States versus the Soviet Union, and now it seems to be the United States versus China. And you know, everybody wants their nation state, their country, their group to be on top. And they compete. But it's not just those governments. There's also those corporations. They don't really care about politics. They just want money and power. And they want to influence people and their organizations. And there's just these kingdoms, these structures that are in the world. And all of them are craving power and authority and demanding loyalty and devotion from us. We're told that one day the kingdoms of this world will come to nothing. All the kingdoms will be brought to nothingness, and there will be only one kingdom left. It won't be the kingdom of darkness. That's another kingdom. Another kingdom that is vying for power. And really behind the kingdoms of this world, there operates this kingdom of darkness. Satan and demonic forces that are at work in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our nation. We have the kingdom of darkness that wants to sway and influence us away from the Lord, trying to destroy and ruin us all. But, you know, we not only have to worry about the kingdoms of this world or the kingdom of darkness, but there's also the kingdom of self. My biggest problem is not my wife, not my kids. It's not the person who has a different political philosophy than I do. It's not my neighbor that gets on my nerves. It's not the government. My biggest problem is me. And your biggest problem is you. Because you see, all of us, every single one of us, we like to rule in this little kingdom we call self. And we like to control and run our own lives. We're like this kid whose dad said, "Sit down, son." And the kid says, "No." He says, "Boy, you will sit down." And he says, "I will not." And finally, the dad picks him up and puts him down in his chair. And he says, "You're going to sit down, and I just made you sit down." And the boy looks at him and says, "I'm not sitting down in my heart." You know, and all of us are just like that. Our government can make us follow certain laws. I love our schools, but man, I get irritated having to write off those checks to the school. I thought I was paying property taxes for all that stuff. I don't want people to tell me I have to wear a seatbelt. If I want to go through my windshield, I should be able to do it. There are people who come in and tell us what to do. Some of you work for employers who say, "You will do this, you will do that, you will go here and you will go there." And in your heart you say, "I'm not happy about it. In my heart, I'm not doing it." And we have this spirit of rebellion within us. Because all of us like to sit on the throne of the kingdom of self. All of these are vying for preeminence and dominance in our lives. And then here comes the kingdom of God. The thing about the kingdom of God is it's going to win. No doubt about it. The kingdoms of this world become nothing. The kingdom of darkness is crushed. The kingdom of self will fall. It's the only legitimate kingdom. The theme of the kingdom of God runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God declared He would exercise His kingship, His sovereignty by setting up His kingdom, His rule, His reign over people's lives and circumstance. And He would do it under His chosen king called Messiah. And He set up a little picture of that through the nation of Israel and through the Davidic king. And what was supposed to be a picture or a representation of God's global universal rule became very corrupted, and it fell and it crumbled. But God's promise never failed, because His kingdom came with Jesus, the Messiah. The kingdom became a worldwide relational reality when Jesus came, existing wherever the lordship of Jesus is acknowledged in repentance, faith, and new obedience. It's in us, it's in our hearts, as we bow our knees to King Jesus and surrender our lives to Him. And it's only in God's kingdom that everything is set right. It's only in God's kingdom that we have love and joy and peace the way that God has intended for us to have it. It's only in God's kingdom is there satisfaction and fulfillment. Every other kingdom leads to ruin and heartbreak. This is why evangelism and missions is so vitally important. Because we live in a world that desperately needs the kingdom of God to be preeminent. We encounter people all the time, every day, that desperately need Jesus to be their sovereign. And if you're a Christian, you need to go tell them, proclaiming the good news. That the good news that the kingdom of God has come. We also see in our text that a disciple not only hears the announced good news of the arrival of the kingdom, but a disciple responds to the good news call from the kingdom of God. It's not just information that we have. There is a particular response. In verse 15, Jesus says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near." So what do? Number one, you repent. A disciple responds by repenting of sin. A disciple recognizes that I have disobeyed God. A disciple looks at the Ten Commandments and says, I've broken every single one of them. A disciple doesn't make excuses. A disciple doesn't try to ignore and hold on to pet sins. A disciple repents, turns away from sin and self, and agrees with God, and turns from the competing kingdoms found in this world to become a subject of the kingdom of God. A disciple believes Jesus, accepts Him, trusts in Him as Savior and Lord. A disciple bows the knee, pledges allegiance, highest allegiance to Jesus. And a disciple follows Jesus. You see this in verse 17? Jesus says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And in verse 18, Peter and Andrew, what do? They lay down their nets and they start following Jesus. Verse 20, James and John, they leave dad and the family business. And they set out on a new course in life to follow Christ. A disciple responds to the good news call of the kingdom of God and says, Lord, You're in charge. You set the agenda. I'll follow Your directions because I've turned from my sin. I've turned from my self-rule. I've surrendered to You and You will lead me. And when we follow Jesus, we will begin bearing witness to the good news of the kingdom of God in this world. A disciple bears witness to this good news of the kingdom of God. Verse 17, Jesus says, I'll send you out to fish for people. I'm sending you out because there are people everywhere who need to be gathered in, who need to be brought in. When you and I go fishing today, Ron, when you get in your little bass boat and you cast, you're trying to catch one. That's not how Peter and John fished. Peter and John, they would get in their boat and they would take this big net and they would throw the net in and they tried to gather in as many as they could, not one at a time, but as many as possible. And Jesus, when He says, I'm sending you out to fish for people, He said, I'm sending you out to cast this net to try to gather in as many people as you can, to bring as many people as you can in to hear the good news that I've come to save them from their sin, to set them free from the tyranny of the kingdom of darkness and even the tyranny of the kingdom of self, to rule and reign in their lives, to bring them salvation and life and hope and peace. I'm sending you out to fish for people. Christian, you are called to represent, to proclaim, to bear witness to the good news of the kingdom of God everywhere you go, with everyone you interact with. You do it with your life, the way that you live, And you do it with the message that you communicate. Jesus is teaching us that a disciple has a new purpose in life. A disciple has a new purpose because he has a new king. Jesus is king. Disciples submit to Jesus. He sets the agenda. And our goal, our aim is to serve and to please Jesus in everything because He sets our new purpose. He sends us out on this mission because everyone needs Jesus. And a disciple has a good news message. Is that what people hear from you? Do people hear the good news of the kingdom of God coming from you? Do they see it? Do they experience it? Or are you more known for something else? Are you known primarily for being the gardener, the antiquer, the hard worker at your business? Are you known for being the sports person, for being the Cubs fan or the Cardinals fan? Now, there's nothing wrong with those sorts of things. But the main thing that we ought to be known for is Jesus and His kingdom. Is that what you're known for? Is that what you're representing? I want to close with two questions. Question number one, are you in the kingdom of God? Are you a disciple? Have you heard the good news that Jesus' kingdom has come? And it's everything that you wanted and needed? Have you bowed your knee to Jesus? Confessing Him as your Savior and Lord? Are you in the kingdom of God? And then, are you living for the kingdom of God? Some of you remember what it was like to grow up during World War II, during those early years of the Cold War. You remember those times when patriotism was high. And you remember hearing stories from your parents and your grandparents. How everybody came together to sacrifice and to work and to give because the nation was in trouble and we were in conflict and we were in a struggle for our survival. Maybe you've heard the history lessons, how people volunteered and said, I will go and serve. And how people rationed and how women went to the factories to make the bombs and the tanks and the bullets and the uniforms. And how everybody did their part. As Christians, we need to understand that we are in a struggle infinitely greater and more important than World War II. Because we're not fighting Nazis. We're fighting hell and sin and everlasting damnation. Do you live with that understanding and that thought? Do you live with the reality that the people you love the most desperately need Jesus more than anything and everything else? Is Jesus calling the shots in your life? Are you following Him? Heavenly Father, may we hear the call to be kingdom people. To bow our knee to Jesus. to follow Him wherever He leads, to go wherever He sends, to do whatever He commands, to represent the kingdom of God in a world that needs it. I pray, Father, for those who are not disciples, those who are not part of the kingdom, that today they would hear and believe and turn and submit. May we see Jesus more clearly than anything else in our lives. And may He be first for us every day this week and every day to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.